I think we can just pray. We just had church. We just pray and dismiss.
Yay!
I'm going to quiz you tomorrow, Kirk. You better pay attention.
I will video this.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
How was everybody? All the moms here today? Looks like ladies' night out at Shady Shores Baptist. It is Mother's Day, so we want to take time this morning to just thank our moms for all they do. That's the message today. Before we really start and get into it, keep talking. I'm going to keep talking for a minute. We're going to play a video. I think it's the first time. Are we going to be good? No, I thought you were telling me not yet. We got to work on our hand signals. This means good. Play the video. Okay. We haven't played videos before. It's our first time, but I found the coolest video I want to play. It's special for moms. It's Skit Guys. It's called Mom Goggles, so y'all enjoy this for a minute.
Are you guys sure you got this?
Yeah. The twins are plugged in. Baby's asleep. How hard can this get?
We're men. Besides, I bumped into Chuck Norris at a Pizza Hut once. I think his power's rubbed off on me.
Get out of here. Go on, enjoy your mommy getaway weekend.
Oh, this weekend was a bad idea.
You remember what happened last time we watched the kids?
I'm not a piñata!
Yeah, we're gonna need help.
Warning, use of this product may alter your perception of reality. All right, everything looks the same. This is a joke.
Guys, it's like the Sahara in this cup. Can somebody hit me with some juice? And listen, pulp, no pulp, doesn't make a difference to me. You're the ones dealing with the diaper.
Mom goggles!
It's beautiful!
Sweetie, I need you to sit on your bottom. Listen to Daddy. You sit on your bottom, okay? Daddy's gonna come get you. Don't move. Don't dance. Just sit on your bottom. Daddy's gonna come get you.
Whoa, 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 whoa! Don't you try to stop me.
Baby made a poopy. Yes, you did.
Where are your mom goggles?
They went over my hazmat suit.
Take this.
Oh, oh. You're so cute, baby. Oh, no.
And then the little boy, he rocked his mommy.
Do it.
Oh,
Well, you take it and you fold it from corner to corner.
No, I'm asking the question, how do moms do all of this? How do they handle it all?
Well, maybe they have goggles we don't know about.
It's as if God gave moms a special way of looking at things, you know? Okay, who taught you servanthood? Who modeled grace? Who gave you a taste of what God's love could look like?
My mom, Mr. T, and my mom.
Anyway, I just think God gave moms a special way of looking at things. Hey, honey.
Hey, how's it going at home?
It's all good. Guess you could say I'm starting to catch a glimpse of what your world looks like.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mama.
Hold on, your daughter wants to say something to you.
I did, Mama.
She says she misses you. And she realizes how important you are in life. And she doesn't know how you do it. And she knows that she can't make it without you.
She said all that, huh?
I don't know if she said it. But it's what I wanted to say. And I should have said it a lot sooner. I thank God for you.
The twins.
It was nothing. We have to go, okay? Love you, Mommy.
Y'all like that? That's the way mothers look at things. And I think a lot of times we take our moms for granted, don't we? A little bit. Maybe sometimes they feel a little underappreciated for all they do. It happens, yeah. I've seen some sympathetic nods, especially from this section. Read a story this week. There was a man, a husband, a father, realized he hadn't been very attentive to his wife. So he decided after work he was going to stop and he was going to buy her flowers and some candy. So he gets home, he goes to the front door, rings the doorbell, she answers the door, and he's standing there and he's holding his flowers and his candy, and he starts singing Rod Stewart. Have I told you lately that I loved you? And immediately his wife starts crying, like sobbing, like big, ugly tears, you know, And he's like, what's wrong? And through her tears, she says, oh, Harry, it's been a terrible day. She said, the plumbing broke, the kids were terrible, the house is a wreck, and now you come home drunk. I thought that was funny. I really am excited to get, you need a moment? I'm sorry. That was a good joke, though. That was a Bob joke. I'm excited to give the... Did you just get that? I'm sorry. I love you, Gina. I'm excited to give the message today, though. Many of you probably don't know this about me. I have a lot of experience with moms. I've had a mother since I was born. I've been married to a mother for 16 years. Our anniversary was Friday. She's about to reach sainthood. When I started today's message, I just started with a prayer, and then I sat down with a pen and paper, and I started writing a list of adjectives and other descriptive words to describe our moms, right? My mom, my wife, and before I knew it, I just blew through a sheet of paper and went back and started looking at it and just see all the wonderful attributes that my mom and my wife both share, and I know you other mothers in the room do as well. And I saw words like encourager, fighter, provider, disciplinarian, comforter, caring, compassionate, loving, beautiful, funny, honest, open, emotional, practical, I'm going to say it, crazy, kind, I had to put it in there, kind, godly, spiritual, and an inspiration. And actually the list goes on much further. So we're going to take a moment today. We're going to look at just who moms are and the roles and the influence they've had in our life. But we're going to take it a step further. We're going to look at what we can do as husbands and as children, sons and daughters, to be more intentional with how we love our moms back. Because I think, especially when we're younger, we have an expectation of who mom is. Like, mom is just somebody that cleans up after everybody. But really, mom is so much more than that. Or, women, let me know if this sounds familiar to you. Moms are more than somebody who can't go to the bathroom without somebody standing on the other side of the door knocking and crying, right? Am I right? Can I get an amen to that? And in our house, I'm usually the one standing on the other side of the door knocking and crying. That's what she gets for leaving me alone with the kids. You're cracking me. You're going to have to look at Duray. You can't look at me. No more eye contact. All right, let's just go right to our scripture. I'm getting derailed here. We're going to be in John chapter 19 this morning. And this might be, at first glance, maybe you think this is an odd scripture for Mother's Day, especially what we can do for our moms. We're going right to the crucifixion of Christ, okay? He's already been arrested. He's already been flogged and beaten. He's been humiliated. He's been marched up to the hill with a crowd of people surrounding him, which included his mother, and he's hanging on the cross. These are his last few moments alive on earth as a man, and he takes the time to intentionally do something that's very wonderful and profound for his mother. So we're going to start in verse 25, John chapter 19. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple who he loved standing nearby. Now we know that the disciple who he loved is John. He's talking about himself, the author of the gospel. When he saw them standing there, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to his disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. So we're going to break this down a little bit. Mary witnessed the crucifixion of her son Jesus from the foot of the cross. Now, I can't even mentally, emotionally go there and imagine what that experience must have been like for her. I mean, even as a father, but I can't imagine a mother who carried that child in her womb for 9 months, who raised him, loved him, comforted him, nurtured him, to see him go through that experience. And I know there's people that have lost children. And it's a terrible, horrific byproduct of this fallen world we live in. But I can't imagine the pain that Mary must have experienced in that moment. And then Jesus does something pretty remarkable. Even through that suffering, even through that pain, he takes the time to make sure his mom was going to be cared for. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it just seems like such a little thing, you know. But he knew that his time on earth was rapidly coming to an end. He wasn't going to survive the day. But he took the time to make sure mom was taken care of. He was on the cross. He was bearing the weight of the sins for the entire world on his shoulders. Yet he took the time to think of mom. As God, Jesus was dealing with eternal matters, right? He was sacrificing himself for the world, for the sin of the world. But as a man, he was making sure mom was taken care of. Jesus, no doubt, loved his mom. She was a widow. The Bible doesn't give an account of Joseph's death. We can assume it happened sometime between Jesus' experience in the temple as a child and before his ministry started as a man. At some point in there, Joseph passed away, leaving Mary a widow. So it would have fallen customarily on Jesus as the oldest to take care of his mom, and he knew he wasn't going to be around. So he saw to it that mom was cared for. And there's some pretty tremendous lessons we can draw from that for ourselves, right? Now, we don't have to wait to we're in a similar position where we're not going to no longer be able to care for our moms, to love our moms, to care for our moms. And we don't have to wait till our moms are elderly, all right, to make sure that her physical, fundamental, basic needs are taken care of. There's things we can do, we can pull out of this lesson, this message, that we can do to intentionally love and care for our moms every day. And it doesn't matter how old you are, youth. It doesn't matter how old you are, Keith. Sorry. Had to bring it back in. We need to love our mom. We need to care for our mom. Right? And how does that sound to you ladies today? To talk about what your kids need to be doing for you. Does that sound good? I need to hear from you. Let's
sounds great.
Okay. All right. So the first thing we need to look at is how we love and care for our moms is we need to love them verbally. Right? Every woman, all right, let me get an amen if this is true, love to hear from their husband and their children the words, I love you.
Amen.
Amen. Some men have a problem with that. Some men do. Not me. I love you, baby. I understand God's grace and his mercy because my wife is way too good for me, like in every way. She's, move on, she said. Okay, she's compassionate as well. But men, I think, have a hard time, especially saying the words, I love you. Teenage boys, too. My mom could tell you a story when I was a teenager. I could not say the words, I love you. I just couldn't do it. I've since gotten past it. Pam's grandfather passed away about 7 years ago. He had cancer. And I remember after his passing, sitting with her grandmother, and these were West Texas farmers. I mean, just good, strong, hardworking country people. And good people. And I remember visiting with her grandmother, and she told me after the funeral that she knew that Bobby, her husband, was getting close to death. That she knew there came a point where she just knew that he wasn't going to make it much longer. And that moment came when she was there at the house. She was at the sink doing the dishes, and he walked up behind her, put his arms around her, and told her he loved her. Because he never said it. They were married over 50 years, and he just could not bring himself to tell her on a regular basis how much she meant to him. And I think guys, we just assume they know, right? You know, I said it, you know, after we got married, and if I change my mind, I'll let you know, right? We get kind of dug in. Or we think that we our actions display our love. You know, we get up, we go to work, we provide. But guys, men, women need to hear those words, I love you. That's the simplest way we can express our love for them is by telling them we love them. And while we're at it, our kids need to hear it too. And kids, everybody look up from your phones for a second. Your moms, Hendor's got her Bible, I love you, girl. Your moms need to hear that you love her. Not just on Mother's Day, not just on Christmas, not just when she takes you to the mall and buys you something you really want, but in those times when she's least expecting it, you need to just tell your mom you love her, okay? That goes a long way in taking care of mom, right? Amen, moms?
Amen.
Amen. All right, next we need to love our moms physically. When's the last time, and this is young or old, you gave your mom a hug without her asking for it?
Last Saturday,
okay. Kirk's written it on the calendar. He'll come back to it next year. Or when's the last time you give her a kiss on the cheek or you rubbed her shoulders or you just sat on the couch with her and just kind of held her for a change? Moms are the first example to children of God's love. Amen? Isaiah 66:13 says, as one whom his mother comforts, so will I will comfort you. God set the example. I mean, as babies, as infants, moms are that first example of God's love. They just are. They're nurturing. She's the first person who ever touched you. She wrapped you in her womb for 9 months, and you were and her first priority after you were born was for what? For her to hold you, to love on you, right? Stroke your face, to put a finger out there so you can grasp onto it, right? Sometimes we need to return that. We get too busy. We neglect that to just come in and give your mom a hug and embrace her, tell her you love her. That means more than taking her out to eat or buying her candy or flowers. Now, do those things because your mom deserves it, okay? But take the time, take a moment, and again, not just on Mother's Day, but to just love her, you know? Give her a neck rub when she's worked all day. especially you teenagers, you know. Your mom worked all day and she came in and cleaned the dishes in the sink and then cooked dinner. That's what happens in our house because we don't always do the dishes from the night before. That's probably my fault.
Amen.
Now Keith speaks up. But it wasn't just that. I mean, even as a child, she was always just loving and caring and touching on you. When you were a little, 2 or 3 years old, she'd ask, what would she say? She would say, give Mama sugar, right? And you give her a big old sloppy wet kiss, and you probably still had peas and carrots on your face, and you just kind of messed her face up, and she thanked you. She loved it, right? Or, and my kids did this to me too, she'd ask for a hug, and they'd come up and they'd grab her neck so tight that she could stand up, and she didn't even have to hold on to him. She can just walk around with the kid just clinging to her. That's an important part of the bond between mother and child, is the touch, the physicalness, the closeness of it, right? There's going to come a time, and for some of you moms it already has, and for some of you it's coming, there's going to come a time when you're going to have to give your child to another person. Right? They're going to grow up, they're going to get married, and that's going to be a big change for you moms, and those who've been through it know what I'm talking about. But you can't outgrow how you love your mom. And just because you've taken a husband or a wife doesn't mean you need to neglect that with your mom. Right? Next, we need to love her patiently. When we think of patience, I wish Donnie was here this morning to talk about the patience of Job. But moms, the job, the responsibility of being mom is probably one of the most difficult jobs ever, right? Like, I don't watch the show Dirty Jobs with Mike Rowe. Has anybody seen that show? I don't watch much TV. I follow him on Facebook because I think I like what he has to say. But I think they should have an episode just called Moms, right? Just follow moms around. Is that a good idea? You write the network, will you? Get on that. There was an internet. We almost showed the video. We actually had three videos we were going to show this morning. We couldn't decide. One of them, maybe you've seen it. It went around, started going around, I think, Mother's Day last year. And it was online job interviews. And these people thought that they were literally showing up for a job interview. And they were all dressed up, and they were very nervous. And then the interviewer started detailing the description of the job. Okay, has anybody seen this and know what I'm talking about? It's great, isn't it? They start showing the requirements, the duties. No sleep. The job's 24/7. No gratitude. You have to be on call all the time. No days off. If you're sick, you have to show up to work. Right? You do all the cooking for the client. They called them the client. And they said, oh, and there's no pay. And people were just freaking out, but they're like, that's cruel, that's inhumane. How can you expect that of anybody, right? And then at the end of it, the interviewer says, oh, the position is called mother. And then the light bulb went off, and they all said, oh. And I think they called their moms and apologized for being terrible children. So we need to be patient with moms. Mom, the job, the title, the function of mom is very difficult. And sometimes we take that for granted. I think especially when we're young. A good example will be, you know, you teenagers not wanting to take the bus to school and then or take the bus home. Your mom picks you up and you get on to her because she's 5 minutes late, right? Sometimes, even and I did this too. I'm guilty of it. I'm sure many of us are. There was times I treated my friends and my friends' family better than I treated my mom. Is that true? Probably. But think about it. If you treat your friends the way you treated your mom, you wouldn't have any friends. And if you treated their moms the way you treat your own mom at times, their mom wouldn't let you come over and hang out at their house. That's the truth. We need to be patient with mom. She's been patient with us. And just because she's tender, she's soft, she's compassionate to your needs, there's no reason to take advantage of that. We do it as youth, and I think we do it as adults too. There are plenty of grown kids, men and women, who take advantage of mom. Right? Amen to that? Because she is tenderhearted, because she is compassionate, because she's your mom and she loves you. That's no reason to take advantage, and that's no reason to be impatient with mom. Now, for adults that have parents that are elderly, I have a grandmother that's in a nursing home. I'm power of attorney for her, so I have to see to her needs that she's taken care of. I want to read this letter to you. It comes from Dr. James Dobson, read it on Focus on the Family Radio, and it was from an 80-year-old woman on her birthday. And she's writing to her children. She says, I suppose my upcoming birthday started my thoughts along these lines. This is a good time to tell you what I truly want are things I can never get enough of, yet they are free. I want the intangibles. I would like for you to come and visit and sit with me, and for you to just be relaxed. We can talk or we can be silent. I would just like for us to be together. I need your patience when I don't hear what you say the first time, and I know it's tiresome when I always repeat myself, but sometimes I must ask you to repeat. I need your patience when I think too much about the past with my slowness and my set ways. I want you to be tolerant of what the years have done to me physically. Please be understanding about my personal care habits. I spill things. I lose things. I get unduly excited when I try to figure out my bank statements. I can't remember when to take my medication or if I took it at all. I take too many naps. Sometimes sleep helps pass the day. Well, there you have it. Time, patience, and understanding. Those are priceless gifts that I want. Finally, in his letter, the Apostle Paul wrote, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And I know I can too. It's a wonderful feeling to know his eyes on the sparrow, and I know he cares for me. I guess being old isn't so bad after all. Love, Mom. We need to love Mom in the moment. Amen? Next, we need to love her attentively. This is a big one. This is one maybe I struggle with. You know, moms are the person, you know, without a doubt, a shadow of a doubt, anybody else in the world, you know your mom is going to listen to you and actively listen to you, right? She cares about what's going on in your life. She cares about what you have to say. She cares about your hurts and your struggles, your problems, your joys. She's the one person you can go to that's going to listen to you, that's going to pay attention, and we need to turn around and share that with her. Amen? I mean, sometimes, mom, don't you just want your kids, especially when they're grown, to just sit down and have a conversation? Maybe tell them what's going on in your world, in your life, and have somebody who loves you, somebody you can be honest with, just sit and listen. Sometimes as adults, we don't always get that, you know, especially single moms. It's another thing I didn't point out is we have all kinds of moms in this room. We have, there's widows in this room. We have stepmoms in this room. We have single moms in this room, right? There's, huh?
Empty nesters.
Empty nesters. I'm waiting on that one. Is it great? No? We need to be intentional because moms are also the ones that no matter what you do in this life, no matter the decisions you make, no matter the wrong choices you make, your mom is the one who's always going to champion you, who's always going to be there for you, no matter what you do. I read it as an illustration. There was a documentary that came out a few years ago, and it was on men who were going to receive the death penalty for capital crimes. And they were interviewing the inmates and their moms. And every time the mom said, he's such a good boy, right? And the interviewer was like, yeah, but he slaughtered 37 people with an axe. And she's like, yeah, but he has such a good heart. You know, your moms love you. Your moms are always there for you. Your moms always listen to you. And that's something we can do every day. Just sit and listen to mom. Just talk to mom. It's simple, right? Next, we need to love her gratefully. Again, this is an area that I've struggled with. Even as a husband, I think, you know, we take our wives, the mothers of our children, our moms, for granted at times, certainly. And they do so much for us. There was an elementary school science teacher, and they were studying magnets, right? And so she gives, at the end of the week, she gives her kids a test, and there's a riddle question on there. She's like, my name starts with the letter M. I'm six letters long, and I pick things up. What am I? What? Half the kids, right, said mother. Half the answers to the question were mother. We take our moms for granted. We need to be more grateful. Sometimes, outside of just saying I love you and giving your mom a hug, the greatest thing you can do, and this is kids, young and old, the greatest thing you can do for your mom is just say thank you for all you do. I had to teach Sunday school this morning. It was a very last minute thing. I taught the youth Sunday school, and didn't have anything prepared at all. I've kind of been focused on today's message, and so we just sat around and we prayed, and then we went around the room and we just started listing things we're thankful for with our mom. That's what I wanted to kind of ingrain in our youth today, is be thankful for mom. You know, she isn't just a person that picks up after you. My kids, I think they're better about it now, but for years, especially when they were elementary school, it was like a nudist calling in my house. They would come in from school and they kick their shoes off and their pants, and I'd run around and just see like a debris of clothes and shoes and backpacks everywhere. It's still like that? Oh, boy. And there's my wife falling around picking things up. Again, it's not just on Mother's Day. It's not on her birthday, the big holidays. You will blow your mom away, even you adults, if you just randomly, at times, periodically, pick up the phone, go to her house, and just say, thank you for being my mom. Thank you for all you've done for me. That heart of gratitude, right? And it really does. It comes from the heart. It's not just lip service. It's not just words we're giving. And it's to expect nothing in return. To just thank your mom. Just delight in the person that is mom. To put up with your nonsense. Right? Just be thankful for mom. And let her know you're thankful for her. Finally, we need to love our moms honorably. Right? Exodus 20 verse 12 says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord God has given you. Honoring your mother is being respectful to your mom in word and in action. Here's the caveat with that commandment. Whether you think your mom deserves honor or respect, the Bible doesn't say honor your father or mother if they deserve it. Honor your father and mother if you think they're good enough. Honor your father and mother if they provided in every way that you thought they needed to. It doesn't matter. There's a position that they've been put into, and that's mom. And that's an important position. You need to honor that in word, in thought, and action. To honor actually means to revere, to prize, or to value. So you're placing value in your mother and your father, but they're much less important than moms, I promise. You need to value your mother. And that's for children of all ages. That doesn't stop. There's no time limit on honoring your father and mother. It doesn't say honor your father and mother until you're 18, till you're grown. It says honor your father and mother always. Solomon, who was the wisest man to ever live, I don't think we can argue that, urged children to respect their parents. And although we may no longer be directly under their authority, we cannot outgrow God's command to honor our parents. Even Jesus, God the Son, submitted himself both to his earthly parents and to his heavenly Father. We should seek to honor our mothers in much the same way as we strive to bring glory to God in our thoughts, words, and actions. I want to end today. Maybe you've heard this before. There was a column by an author named Irma Bombeck that appeared in a Mother's Day column May 12, 1974. That's going back a ways. Some of us weren't born yet. But this is fantastic. Okay? And this, I think, best sums up who the person a mother is. It says, when the good Lord created mothers, he was into his sixth day of overtime when an angel appeared and said, you're doing a lot of fiddling around with this one. The Lord replied, have you seen the specs on this order? She has to be completely washable, but not plastic, have 180 movable parts, all replaceable, run on black coffee and leftovers, have a lap that disappears when she stands up, a kiss that can cure anything from a broken leg to a disappointing love affair, and six pairs of hands. The angel shook her head slowly and said, "Six pairs of hands? No way. It's not the hands that are causing me problems," said the Lord. "It's the three pair of eyes that the mothers must have too. One pair that sees through closed doors when she asks, 'What are you kids doing in there?' when she already knows. Another in the back of her head that sees what she shouldn't, but what she needs to know. And of course, the ones in the front that look at a child when he goofs up and say, 'I understand and I love you,' without so much as uttering a word. I'm so close to creating something so close to myself. Already I have one who heals herself when she's sick, can feed a family on six with 1 pound of hamburger, and gets a 9-year-old to stand under a shower. Not only can she think, she can reason and compromise." Finally, the angel bent over and ran her finger across the cheek of the mother. "There's a leak," she pronounced. "I told you you were trying to put too much into this model." "That's not a leak," the Lord said. "That's a tear." "What's it for?" the angel asked. The Lord replied, "It's for joy, for sadness, for disappointment, for pain, loneliness, and pride." "You're a genius," shouted the angel. With a somber look on his face, the Lord said, "I didn't put it there." Amen. Let's give a round of applause to our mom. Let's go to the Lord in prayer while the band comes up. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the rain, Father. And there's times where we go through seasons of droughts, Father. Not just in the makeup of the land, Father, but in our hearts, in our spirits, Father. Even in our churches, in our homes. And I thank you for the abundance you show us, Father. For your Holy Spirit that rains down on us freely. And your grace, Father, that surpasses anything we could ever even hope to imagine to repay or earn. I'm thankful for the mothers in this room, Father. How they affect our lives in ways that we certainly don't give enough credit to. And we need to give back to them, Father. We need to show them just how much that they mean to us. We're thankful for what they do for us, Father, and the influence they have in our lives. I'm thankful for my mom and my wife, Father. I'm the man I am today, Father, because of the influence in their lives, in my life. When we see your grace, Father, when we see your love, I think we get a glimpse of that when we look at our moms. I'm humbled by that, Father. We love you and we thank you. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. We're going to do the invitation different today. If you're looking for a church home, if you haven't joined Shady Shores Baptist, we'd love to have you. If this is something that's been on your heart, or maybe you haven't thought about it, I ask you to think about it now. If you'd like to join our church home, become a member, you can come up and join now. I'll pray with you about it.